Could we turn, first of all, to Deuteronomy, or 2 Chronicles chapter 6. In this chapter, I want to lay special emphasis on two words, the word if and the word when. And I'm just going to read parts of verses, and you'll notice how often the word if comes in here. Well, we'll start in the 18th verse. But will God in very deed dwell with man on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer that thy servant prayeth toward or in this place. Now I'll read part of different verses, the 22nd verse. If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven, and do and judge thy servants. Then the 24th verse. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and they shall return and confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in this house. Then the 26th verse, when the heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people and of thy people Israel, which thou, when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, when thou hast given unto thy, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. If there be a dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting, or mildew, caterpillar, locusts or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore, whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer, what supplication soever shall be made of any man, or of all thy people Israel, when every one shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house. Then going down a little farther in the 34th verse, if thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captive unto a land far off or near, yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. The 39th verse, I'll read the 38th too. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward this land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now I'd like to turn also to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I want to put emphasis on the little word because here, the seventh verse then, the little word because. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the covenant which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now shall we turn also to Isaiah chapter 43, I think it is. Isaiah chapter 43, first verse. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. And then just one more in chapter 30 of Isaiah. Verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 18th verse, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Well, it was particularly four words that I'd like to call attention to, and I'm sure that you noticed them as I read. The word if, the word when, and the word because, and the word since. There are many ifs in our lives, aren't there? There are many whens, that is, this happened, when. Well, it just happened at the wrong time. But isn't it nice to think of the other side? Because I have loved thee, and since thou wast precious in my sight. Let's never lose sight of that, brethren. When those ifs do come in our lives, let's put the other side to it, that we can say that his ways are with us because he loves us, and since we are precious in his sight. He didn't only die on the cross to save our souls from hell. That's a wonderful deliverance indeed. But brethren, I say it's because he wanted our company, and he wanted our company forever. We can spend a little time in company with others, but sometimes we say, oh, I'd like to just get off by myself occasionally. But isn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus loves us so much that he wants to have our company, and our company forever. And as often said, that's the test of true love. If you're going with somebody and you get tired of their company, there's a question. Because if you really have the kind of love you should, you just like to be in their company, whether a word is said or not. Just to be in their company is a relaxation. In returning and in rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. I think of a man who was brought up and was in the assembly, and he got upset about some things happened in the assembly and about a certain brother that caused some difficulty. And he left. And when he was quite an older man, his son said, "Dad, it's too bad that you left." His son happily was gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus. And his father's reply was, "Well, I wouldn't if it hadn't been for that brother." And I thought this dear young man's answer was a very wise one. He said, "But Dad, the Lord put that man there. The Lord put that man there." And you know, we have to realize this, brethren, that God puts certain things in our lives. And this chapter that I've read in Chronicles is just saying those things that God may put into our lives. And so if that man, when that thing had come into his life, and if that brother had been a cause, a thorn in the flesh perhaps to him, if he had said, "But the Lord loves me, and the Lord has allowed this, I'm precious in His sight," he might have got the victory over that situation. But those things do come in our lives. And you know, we can't trust the flesh, brethren. We can't say, "I wouldn't do this or wouldn't do that." Another little instance that came, we just had occasion to meet a girl. She's now past 50 years of age, but we knew her when she was 14 years of age. And she had come from a home where her mother had married an unsaved man. And she had had some trials in the home. And she said to my wife, "I can see the mistake of marrying an unsaved man and the trouble that it brings, and I'll never do that." But you know, she trusted herself. She has been married 3 times and divorced. She is now living with another man. And she said, "You know, we had another problem come up in our life, and we were afraid things were going to break up this third time." And she said, "My son, who's a real believer, who loves the Lord, he said, 'Mother, Mother,' he said, 'you made a mistake. You married the wrong person. Why don't you just take it to the Lord in prayer?'" And she said to us, she said, "I did just that. And it's wonderful the way the Lord has come in." And brethren, that's the thing that we have in this chapter that we have read. What was the answer to all these ifs in 2 Chronicles chapter 7? The answer was prayer and turning to the Lord, confessing whatever was wrong in our lives, but getting right, first of all, with the Lord. And I say to myself and to any of us here, if those ifs are bothering you, you've come to these meetings and perhaps you have a whole lot of ifs. If that boy had only treated me differently, if that girl had only treated me differently, if that hadn't happened, and if those older brethren hadn't said some unkind things, if, all kinds of ifs are in our lives. And when those things happen, what do? Do we ride upon the swift to get away from it? That's what we read in Isaiah. It says, yes, instead of in quietness and confidence in the Lord, we say, "I can find my own way out," and we jump on the swift and try to run away. But the ones that follow us are swifter still. And so what is the answer? Well, brethren, I feel that this is what God is bringing before us in this beautiful chapter. We think of King Solomon here. When he came to the throne, he recognized that he didn't have the wisdom needed for this high position that was given to him. And we feel very often, all of us, that we're put in certain positions and we're just at wit's end. We don't know what to do. We don't have sufficient wisdom in ourselves. The Bible says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." There's no one of us that know all the answers and that can handle every situation. And more than this, the answer is not in ourselves. But oh, how wonderful, God has given us His precious Word. He has given us in it all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And more than that, He's given us Himself. Himself He gave our poor hearts to win. He went to Calvary and died for us. And He's like the Hebrew servant. He says, "I'm going to live for you forever." And whenever you're in any trouble, I'm there at the right hand of God. I'm there as your great high priest. And I know the pathway because I tread it myself. The work of redemption that the Lord Jesus was accomplished, which we remembered this morning, was all accomplished in those 3 hours of darkness when He bore our sins and then bowed His head in death and shed His precious blood to put our sins away. It was on Calvary that the work was finished that met our need as sinners. But why the 33 and a half years of His life? In order that He might tread through this very world like we live in, a world where things were not easy. The children of Israel were under the authority of the Romans. There was a lot of unpleasant situations and all the rejection that He faced. He said that mine own familiar friend hath lifted up his heel against me. He was hungry and thirsty. He was misunderstood by His disciples. He was rejected by the people He wanted to bless. And when we turn to Him as the captain of our salvation, He says, I've been through the whole path. I know what you're going through. I know the path that you're taking. When the children of Israel sinned and God said they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness, isn't it wonderful? He said, make me a tent and I'll dwell with them. Yes. He said, if they're going to have to spend 40 years in the wilderness, I'll dwell among them. And more than that, I'll provide a way of approach into my presence. And such it was in the tabernacle. A way of approach was provided into His presence. Oh, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're the most blessed person on the face of the earth. Those friends that you have in school and elsewhere who don't know the Savior, they don't know the wonderful resource that you have. They don't know the secret of peace and joy that you and I are entitled to know. But isn't it strange? And I'm the same too at times. When we get into a problem, we try, first of all, to solve it ourselves. We try human means. But what was the answer in all these different things? I think perhaps there are 6 different things in this chapter that are brought before us. And what was the answer? Oh, there was that house. And if they were so far from it, they could pray toward it. When Daniel was down in the land of Babylon, he could have said, well, I can't go to the house because it's much too far. But he opened his window and prayed toward Jerusalem. He believed that the God who had allowed them to be scattered still cared about him and cared about his people, and that he could come to him with confidence. And no king's decree or anything would stop him praying 3 times a day. And don't let the problems of your life stop you from coming to the Lord Jesus and asking Him for the help that you need. I'll just notice these in a little bit of detail here in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Isn't this lovely, this 18th verse where we began? But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have built. Solomon had built a glorious house. It was, I suppose, the grandest, we might say, religious building that was ever built in the whole world. And yet he said it can't contain God. Heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have built. But will God in very deed dwell with men? We know when the Lord Jesus was born into this world, the angels proclaimed the wonderful message. They said, peace on earth, good will to man. In other words, God had found pleasure in man that He came to dwell with him. This is when you like someone, you come down to dwell with them. Because man had spoiled this earth through sin, but God still loved him. And I've sometimes said it was as though God said, well, you've spoiled this world through your sin and rebellion, but I'm going to open up something better to you than what you've spoiled. And I'm going to open my home to you, and I'm going to fit you for it, and you won't be able to spoil it. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And brethren, this is the one. Our brother was talking about our friend. What a wonderful friend we have in the Lord Jesus. This is the one. So here was this house that Solomon had built, and he was particularly anxious that God's people would recognize God's desire to bless them in and through this house. So here we find, first of all, in the 22nd verse, if a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in thine house, then judge thou from heaven, and do, and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked and recompensing his way upon his head. Here we find that there was a case where someone had trespassed against his neighbor. What was he to do? Was he to go and fight with him, hold bitter feelings for years about it? No. He's to come and pray and lay out the whole case before the Lord. Has someone been mean to you? Someone been unfair to you? Someone really hurt you? And what did you do? Did you carry on a lot of resentment and perhaps hold a grudge for a long, long time? Well, I'll tell you, if you did, you're a very unhappy person today. You're not happy. When we don't forgive another person, we're the ones that are delivered to the tormentors. When you don't forgive somebody for a mean thing, you're delivered to the tormentors. And I've seen people, and they're most unhappy because they carry this forgiving spirit. Does the Lord say that it's wrong? Yes, the person has done what's wrong. Who judges righteously? The Lord. Listen to this verse about the Lord Jesus. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Isn't it good to be able to commit your case to the Lord and leave it with him? Yes, as we read there in Isaiah, they shall not be ashamed that wait for him. Oh, I want to encourage my brethren, and don't forget I'm talking to myself as well as to you, that when those kind of things happen, and they do happen, don't let it spoil your life, spoil your relationship with your brethren, spoil the assembly. Take it to the Lord. Lay it out before him. Ask him to straighten it out. He can straighten it out far better than you can, because he knows the whole situation. That's the answer, is to leave it with him and go on. Dear Joseph, his brethren were awfully mean to him, but he never held any grudge. And when the opportunity came, he just showed kindness to them and says, don't be angry with yourselves. God's hand was in the whole situation. If that brother that I spoke of at the beginning had only seen God's hand in the situation, he probably would have gone along in the assembly for many years as a happy person, but he made himself a miserable person. So I say, if this has happened in your life, sometimes it does happen. People can give us what the world calls a pretty raw deal sometimes. Leave it with the Lord. Pray about it. Commit it to him. He is the one who judges righteously in all things. Then it says in the 24th verse, if thy people Israel be put to the worst before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people, and bring them again into the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. Well, sometimes we're put to the worst. And sometimes we have to say, it's my fault. It's my fault. It's good when we're willing to admit that. Perhaps one of the hardest things for some of us to say is, I'm sorry. It was really my fault. It was really my fault. A brother who was out of fellowship for quite a length of time, he wanted to come back, and he said to me, I'll say I'm sorry if the others will say they're sorry too, because I wasn't the only one that did something wrong. And I said, brother, maybe difficult, but remember this. Everyone shall give account of himself to God. You don't have to answer for those other brothers. If you're really sorry for what you did, why don't you tell your brethren that you're sorry? Never mention the others. Leave them with the Lord.
He did. He's in happy fellowship with us today. It's nice to see him. You go to the meeting, he's a happy brother. The Lord has blessed his family. How much better than trying to hold these things. And so sometimes we do make mistakes. We're not the only one, so we think, well, the other person's at fault too. Or maybe they are. Leave that person with the Lord. You're only accountable for yourself. Then hear thou from the heavens and forgive. Bring them back unto the Lamb. This brother was brought back. There were tears when he was restored. I wasn't present at the time, but they told me a lot of tears were shed at the meeting when he was restored and brought back. Well, may the Lord give us grace in these situations. And it says, when the heaven is shut up and there's no rain. Sometimes the assembly seems like that. I've heard people say, well, you go to the meeting and you just don't seem to get any refreshment for your soul. You go there because you believe it's where the Lord would have you, but you just get discouraged. Yes, sometimes it does seem the heavens are shut up and there's no rain. What should you do? Quit coming? Decide that you're going someplace else? Well, if you're really convicted that that's where the Lord has put his name, as I believe Mr. Potter said, be sure you don't leave before the Lord leaves. Be sure you don't leave before the Lord leaves. And there, if there's no rain, what do? Take it to the Lord. Cry to him. Perhaps before you go to that Bible reading, ask the Lord to undertake. You may be surprised how he'll come in. You may be surprised how he can touch hearts that you couldn't touch, because he has all power. He works in the hearts of men, and he can do things that we can't do. I've often been surprised at the change in people's attitude when I prayed about something, because the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. And then again in the 28th verse, if there be a dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locusts or caterpillars, if the enemies besiege them in the land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be. It's rather interesting in this one. It doesn't say that these things were necessarily allowed because of sin. The others, it mentions that we had something to confess. Sometimes things come in our lives and we don't just understand. Perhaps you've said, what did I do? What did I do? Well, it doesn't say anything about what they did at all here, but there's a great variety of things that could be happening. There could be dearth, there could be pestilence, there could be failure of crops, there could be enemies, there could be sickness. And you don't always know, but you always know your resource is in the Lord. You always know. And you know when you can't understand and when you can't see just what it is, I think sometimes things happen. In fact, it tells us there in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, Hebrews chapter 12, I should say, it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It doesn't say unto them that find out the reason, just exercise. And if we're exercised about why the Lord allows things, and we carry the matter to him in prayer, then he comes in. He hears. We spread out our hands before him. And it says, he knows the hearts of all men. Isn't that good? He knows the hearts of all men, and he just comes in. So perhaps you're in a kind of a trial, and you say, I don't know just why the Lord allowed it. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to him. You may not know why in heaven you're going to find out. Yes, brethren, we'll find out the answer to everything there, but perhaps not down here. Then it goes a little further here in the 33rd verse, and it even talks about the stranger. The Lord has an interest in someone. You say, well, I've just been gathered a short time, a lot of things I don't know. My family are not in the meetings, and I don't seem to have the same connection with things as other people. Oh, the Lord knows the heart of the stranger. He cares about you just as much as if you had a father and a grandfather in the meeting. He cares about you. You're one of his just as much. Yes, brethren, if we're his, we're in the family, we're intimate, we're members of the body of Christ. Then it says in the 34th verse, if thy people go out to war against their enemies. And then in the 36th verse, if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not. And now they're carried off into captivity. And now you say, well, I guess it's all up now because I can't get back. Well, that was the case of Daniel. Daniel was in captivity, and so were his three friends. They had to go to school in a difficult day. I'm sure if you'd attended the college in Babylon, you would have heard all kinds of strange things and heathen religion, if you like to put it that way. Because they were idol worshippers, had all kinds of strange ideas about creation and everything. And Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they had to go to school there. But they still feared God, and they were careful to please God in their school life. And may I say to you, dear young people, many of you going to school and college, things are getting worse. They're not improving, but you can fear God. You can look to the Lord. You say, but the person that's over me will make it hard for me. Well, that's what they feared too. And it says that he was the man who was over them said, I'll endanger my head to the king if I do what for you what you want me to do. But God brought Daniel and his friends into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. God can touch the hearts of your professors, your teachers, all those ones. Everything's in his hand. All power is given to him in heaven and earth. What do? You pray. What did that girl do that I was telling you about? She'd had trouble on trouble in her life, and it took her son, a boy of perhaps 20-some years old, to say, Mother, why don't you just pray about it? You've taken everything in your own hands all your life. Nothing's worked. Why don't you just pray? And she prayed. She said to us, it's wonderful. You can hardly believe it, she said, how the Lord has come in. We have one who has all power. And so here, isn't this lovely to hear, see the Lord hearing and blessing. And why? Let's turn to that in Deuteronomy chapter 7 again. You say, why should he hear me? Well, I don't know why he should hear me. I don't know why, except I see the answer here. This is the only answer I know, because I didn't deserve his salvation, and I don't deserve anything since he saved me. I had never come to him on the ground of deserving something. I come to him as one who acts toward me in grace, undeserved favor. That's what grace is, and that's the way to come to the Lord. And so it says here in Deuteronomy 7, the 7th verse, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. It's not lovely. All those ifs and all those whens. If this comes and when this comes, take it to the Lord in prayer. And why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. You all know the feeling of going to somebody with a problem and realizing the person you're talking to you really loves you, that there's nothing you can say to him that's going to change his life or to her. And you just feel confident in quietness, and in confidence shall be your strength. In returning and in rest shall ye be saved. Oh, isn't it blessed that we can come? If and when we're in these situations, maybe you're not in them today, but maybe you will some other time. But if you get into them, and when you get into them, then turn to the Lord in prayer. But not just as a matter of ritual, but with the feeling and the knowledge in your heart that he loves you. He loves you. Why? Oh, you say, I'm just in a little assembly and there's not much fellowship. Here he says, you are the fewest of all people. But I loved you and I picked you out. And so he says here, he didn't set his love upon you or choose you because you were more in number, but because the Lord loved you and because you would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. God's made a promise. God has made a promise. What is the promise? He's going to bring you home. He's the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus. bringing many sons to glory. He is going to keep His word. All the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God by us. Now let's turn over to that passage in Isaiah chapter 43. And here we find this little word, since, that we spoke of. Reading again that part of the second verse, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. Oh, isn't this a wonderful thing? Because, why? Because He loves us. And since, what? Since we were precious in His sight. You're precious in His sight. You see, it doesn't feel like that sometimes when He lets things go wrong in my life. But He allows these things because we're in the school of God. And we're going to learn things. My father used to have a little expression. He said, you'll never learn to know God as the God of all comfort in heaven. That's an experience you can only have on earth. You'll never need any comfort in heaven because there are no sorrows or trials there. But the remembrance of the way the Lord has helped you will be precious to you for all eternity. And as I've often said, when you look back, like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, I'm sure when they look back, they'd say that was a marvelous experience. We wouldn't have been without it. Joseph would say it was marvelous how the Lord undertook. I wouldn't have been without it. And you and I, when we retrace our lives in His presence, as they will be retraced at the judgment seat of Christ, we will say, He led us forth by the right way, since we were precious in His sight. So He says, fear not, for I am with thee. Yes, isn't that wonderful? Fear not. Oh, put your hand in His, and let Him be the one to lead you and guide you. And when you come to those points, and we all come to them, when we just can't understand, we can't see the way, we can't see the wisdom of God's ways, just say, well, He loves me. And since He loved me, I can count upon Him that He knows what He is doing, that He knows the whole way ahead of time, and that He's over all these circumstances. And then last of all, just before we close, let's turn to Isaiah 30 again. Isaiah chapter 30. And this verse really speaks to my own heart when I read it, this 15th verse. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Don't say no. Don't say no. God says yes, but it says some of those people were saying, but ye said no. No. I'm going to flee on horses. I'm young. I'm going to plan my own life. I know how to work my way through those problems. You don't know the brothers and sisters in our assembly. I can work my way through it. Oh, brethren, we can't, but God can. We can't, but God can. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and in returning and rest shall ye be saved. Why you say, but why doesn't He do it right away? It says, blessed are all they that wait for Him. God's time is not always our time. We'd like things to happen right now, but to God, everything is the eternal present. He knows what He's doing, and He's not going to allow our faith to be tested beyond what He is able to sustain us. He is able to sustain us all along the way. Well, I trust, brethren, that the Lord will speak to my heart as well as to yours. And just let me say those four words again. If, when, because, since. If you're in a problem, When you're in a problem, then think of the other side. Why did he love you? Because he loved you and he has made a promise. And he's saying to you, you're precious in my sight. Just be content to wait for me. And so many of us are going to leave here. We're going home. Problems are not going to change just because you've been away for 2 days and a half. We're going to face the same situations when we came, get back home, that we left when we came here. But God hasn't changed either. And he is sufficient. And if we go back with those precious words in our hearts, in returning, and in rest shall ye be saved, in quietness, and confidence shall be your strength, let's say yes, don't say no.